Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Ekev, Praying Alone. If we look at the two paragraphs of Shema, the first, known as the paragraph of Shema, second, Vayayim Shamoa, found here in chapter 11, Parshat Ekev, first paragraph found in last week's Parshat, Vayetchanan, we notice a lot of similarities. They both speak about loving God with all of our hearts and all of our souls, although it doesn't mention all of our might in the second paragraph. It speaks about teaching the children, although the word v'limadtem, the explicit, simple word of teaching, appears only in this week's Parshat in Ekev. It speaks about tefillin, mezuzah, so many similarities between the two. But then, there are the great differences as well. Particularly, that Parshat Vayayim Shamoa, the one in Ekev, the second paragraph, seems to be mostly dedicated to the idea of the covenant. If we do thus, if we keep the commandments, then things will be good. If we don't keep the commandments, we'll go into exile and we'll be lost from the land. And it also goes on after the end of the paragraph that if we keep the commandments, we'll maintain our years in the land of Israel for eternity. The first paragraph does not mention reward and punishment, leading us to an interesting conclusion. Because as Rashi says, why does it mention you should love God with all of your heart and your soul both times? One is a commandment to the individual, that's the Shema, and to the congregation, that's the Vayayim Shamoa, the second paragraph. So apparently this paragraph, which speaks about reward and punishment, is in the collective. It's with all of your hearts, with all of y'all souls. So it's in the plural, which seems to indicate that the notion of reward and punishment, as it says in the Gemara and Kedushin, Rabbi Yaakov says, there's no reward in this world for commandments. But in the second paragraph, it's speaking about the community. The community works on reward and punishment. When the Jewish people were righteous, as in the days of David, Solomon, then things were good for us. When we were sinful, as in the days of certain periods between the judges and later kings, then things were bad. Eventually, we were wiped out from the land, only to return much later. So that's interesting in terms of the distinction between reward and punishment for the individual versus the public. But you'll notice something else. One element that's missing in the first paragraph that's found in the second is ul'ovdo, to worship God with all of your heart and all of your soul. That's not in the first paragraph. And the rabbis say, how do you worship God with your heart? After all, usually you can worship God with your lips. You can worship God by bowing down. You can worship God by bringing a sacrifice. How do you worship God in your heart? The rabbis say, avodah zot tefillah. The worship of the heart, that's prayer. And this is the source, the basis of Jewish prayer. The idea that we need to pray every day. It's based on this idea of avdo b'chol avchem, to worship God with your heart. As it says, Parshat Mishpatim, in the book of Exodus, vavadtem et Hashem elokeichem, you should worship, you should pray to the Lord your God, and then He will bless your bread and your wine, your water. So it's interesting that this paragraph, which is in the plural, which is for the community, speaks about worship, and the paragraph that's in the singular does not. Because we might suggest that although it's true that Rashi mentions the pulchan, the worship that Daniel did, but Daniel prayed very much alone. Daniel was in exile, Daniel was a captive, Daniel was working for the king, Babylonia, and it was sometimes forbidden to pray, and he prayed three times a day on his own. And maybe at windows open to Jerusalem, but he prayed on his own. But really, Pulchan worship in general, whether it's in the Beit HaMikdash, or here in this word of L'avdo b'chol avchem, worshiping God with all of your heart, it's found in the context of the plural, in the context of the community. And because worship is generally within the community. Why? Well, it's more effective. Picture thousands of people praying to God, and picture one person praying to God. Which one is more effective? Which one has more merit, more likely to be answered by God? Where would God have more mercy on them? Secondly, when we're in a community, we encourage one another. When Chana came to the Beit HaMikdash, she was inspired, she was moved by her experience being there. We go to Jerusalem, it says in next week's parsha, we go to Jerusalem to learn to love God and to fear God. It's when we have the community, we have that feeling. now in the days of these COVID-19, in the days of the pandemic, we're often forced to pray alone, to go at it alone, to bowl alone, so to speak. And it's not easy. We could zoom in or zoom out, but the fact is, we're praying alone. And it's just not the same. What's going to happen on the high holidays? Well, we have to pray alone. And how does it work? What is it like when we pray alone? On the one hand, it can be so beautiful. It's just you and God. Nobody's looking. There's no one. You're not doing it. It's not performance. But on the other hand, who's there to encourage you? Who's there to bolster your prayers? How can I piggyback on the enthusiasm of my neighbor and their prayers? How can I turn to look at a neighbor and say, you know, look at all the tzaras that they have. Let me pray for them also. All that is missing in the individual prayer. That's why in this paragraph of Avodah Shebalev, of worship, it's in the heart. It's very personal and private, but it's in the context of the congregation, in the community, because ultimately, prayer is best when it's done in a community. Prayer, tefillah shebetzibur, or tefillah hatzibur, it will not be turned away. The prayer of the community is very powerful. This time of the pandemic, when we're unable to pray as a community, we have to strengthen our prayers as individuals to make them as close as we can to the community. When we have that opportunity to pray outside in a sukkah or whatever kind of distance minyan you have, we have to take advantage of those moments and realize, wow, this is what a great opportunity. We're praying the way it should be, the way it was in the Beit HaMikdash. When you came and there was a community, there were Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim, and people were praying. Communities, people took off 2 weeks and they came to pray in Jerusalem. It was inspiring. When we have that opportunity to pray with others, we should take advantage of it. We should be moved by it. We should think about it, meditate, contemplate how special it is, the opportunity not to pray alone. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Olam, the congregation, for our discussion of prayer. Join us each week for a discussion of the holidays, the Parsha, and thanks for joining us again.